Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope is sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Thursday, February 19th radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. And it is a great joy to be with you today. Well, I've been talking to you the last few weeks about our project on reaching America with the gospel. We're asking 1,000 people under the sound of my voice to give $10 a month if you can. And some people can give more, some can't. If you can't give, you could pray for us, all right? You could do it in a one-time gift of $120, or you could do it monthly. Just make your check to GBI and our mailing address, GBI, Post Office Box, 797 Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Now, I tape these programs about 3 weeks ahead of time, sometimes 4 weeks maybe, if we can get real good ahead. And I'll be updating you as to our progress and what stations will be going on and all that kind of thing. We may take some in the southeast. We'll take some in the Midwest, some in the West, wherever the Lord opens the door. And I don't know exactly where that will be, but I want you to pray about that. That God would have. I want to reach America with the gospel. And my long-term goal is to go into some of these states where the gospel is not being preached as much. And radio does work. You may believe that or may not believe that, but radio works. And I tell you what, there's a man, he's in heaven right now. His name was Joe Kowalski. And Joe was a great soul winner back up my part of the country. I had the privilege of being his pastor for about 2 years. And Joe was my mentor a little bit when I was a younger man. And then I had later in life as a chance to be his pastor. But Joe didn't know anything about God. He's in the military. And he found a pen on the ground in Kansas City that said, Jesus saves. And he didn't know what that meant. Later in years, in the early 1970s in Hudson, North Carolina, he found out what it meant. He got saved by the grace of God. And friend, there's people all over America we like to know about Jesus. The only time they hear the name Jesus is in a curse word or a derogatory remark. But I want them to be able to be acquainted with Jesus Christ. Amen. And you pray for me. I want to be a better preacher. I really do. I want to preach the Word of God just as it is to men and help them in this great hour. Father, help the broadcast today and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now let's see here. We want to tell you about the message is Joshua, the character of Joshua. We're preaching from Joshua, not verse by verse, just topics here through Joshua, or I don't know if it'll be through the whole book or not, but just whatever the Lord leads us to preach. Right now we're in chapter 1. We're dealing with the character of Joshua. Hope it is a blessing as you listen on this Thursday. I'm not going to go to a secular counselor to solve my church problems if I had any. I'm not going to do that. I believe and know that every answer to life is in this Bible. I was facing a situation. I've told this story. I was facing a situation many years ago. Not too many years ago, really. And I'd never run upon this situation before in my life. And I knew there had to be an answer in the Bible for this situation. At that time, I was in an office, had two doors. My office has one now, but I had an office had two doors at that time in the other building. I closed both doors to my office. I got on my knees before God. I knew there had to be an answer in the Bible. I'd never seen this situation before, never heard of this situation before, and I knew there had to be an answer in the Bible. And I was praying. I said, God, will you give me an answer? Now, one of my prayers, a good prayer for you to pray, is Psalm 119:18. This is a good prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. All right, so you want God to open your eyes so you can behold wondrous things out of the law. Amen. You ought to pray that prayer every day. And so I prayed God. I said, help me. And the Holy Spirit, while I was on my knees, gave me the answer to that problem. I got up, opened the doors of my office. I've never had a problem with that yet since. I've never had a question about that since. God solved that issue, and now I can help other people with that issue because that issue is out there. And here's the thing about it. It's just like the assurance of your salvation. A lot of people struggle with that one. Well, the answer to that problem is in the Bible. The answer to that problem is in the Bible. That pastor, you're going to run up on things in the church that they didn't cover in your ordination. And the answer is going to be in the Bible. Now, Joshua is going to run up on things leading Israel and Joshua, conquering the Canaan land. Joshua is going to run up on things. that he ain't going to know how to handle. But every answer is going to be in the Bible. That's why in Joshua 1, God commands him to stick close to the Word of God. You know what he did? He went up there and got that law from Moses. This makes Joshua 1:8 all the more important. Now you get a different view of Joshua 1:8, realizing that that Joshua was there when God gave the law to Moses. Now let's notice what he said, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law. Now let me stop right there. This book. I want to say today, without apology, this King James Bible is my book. I tell you what I did. I bought two new Bibles last year and bought another one this year. And the other day, matter of fact, I'd had one of them new Bibles, had never tuck it out of the wrapper. I took it out, and then another one came in the mail. I told my wife, I said, some folk collect guns, I collect Bibles. By the way, some of you preachers that collect Bibles, you'd be shocked at you know, I have, sometimes I buy those little cheap Bibles. You say, well, I don't want that. I want a $300 Bible. Well, let me tell you something. I can preach a sermon out of a $20 Bible, a little dime store Bible, as easy as I can a $300 Bible. Now, I'm not mad. You can get any kind of Bible you want. I've got one Bible. It's got all the Scripture marked in different colors. I like that. Amen. If it's faith, it's marked in one color, and grace in another color. I like that Bible. And I've got another one. It's a study Bible. And I've got another one. And I just love Bibles. They're all King James now. Authorized King James. Now, I want you to listen to this. I believe every word in that Bible. I don't run back, listen to this and that and the other thing. There is nothing that's my authority other than the King. You say, well, preacher, you know, I go back to the original, all this stuff. Let me tell you something about that. Learn to believe the King James Bible. Remember what God said in Ezekiel chapter 34 about how the priests defile the water with their feet? Our Bibles today, men have tried to defile the waters of God with their stinking feet. I mean, they've tried to defile God's Bible. Let me tell you something. You're not going to shake me on the Bible. Joshua is a man. Now notice what God said to him in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Let me tell you something. God sent him on a journey that man ain't never been on before. God sent in Joshua on some roads. They're going to conquer a whole bunch of nations. And they're going to need God. God said, here's what you do. Right here's the plan. You do it the way it's written. Preachers, you want a good plan for your church? It's written. You remember what Jesus, he defeated the devil with that statement three times. It is written. It is written. How about that? It is written. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad there's some things written in the Bible, ain't you? My plan for GBI, it is written. I go with what the Bible says. Amen? The plan for my marriage, it is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Amen. Go with God. Well, Joshua was a man of the Scriptures. I thank God that he was. Now, let me give you this little outline, and this is called, I'm going to stop right here and do this, And for those of you who think I move too slow, I'm sorry, but I'm going to obey the Lord. And Dr. Ballou taught me. He said a good way to preach is to preach in series of sermons, and to allow the Holy Spirit to build upon those sermons. Well, the Holy Spirit did as I studied this. So I want to stop right here. I want to give you a little outline. And I don't mind if you preachers want to preach this. If you think it's all right, you want to preach it, you can. Now I'm going to give you a little outline on and let me give you spiritual success. Now, God told Joshua, said, if you'll follow this law, you'll have good success. Now, remember, Joshua was there when the law was given. Joshua no doubt saw those tables of stone that God had written on with his own hand. Joshua was a man of the Scripture. I want to say this to you. I want to stop and say this before I give you the outline. Young people, young lady, be a woman of the Scriptures. Young man, be a man of the Scriptures. I don't care what books you study. And I don't care what books you read. I don't care what history books you read. I don't care what philosophy you read. Read the Bible. Don't be a student of the commentary. Read the commentary. See what the man says. I read commentaries. But be a student of the Bible. Get it. Be a man of the Scriptures. And when you die, may people know that you're a man of the Scriptures. I've told you the story about how the pastor put the Bible in my hand at a young age. When I got saved, Mama bought me, and I couldn't read it, but Mama bought me a little black Bible. I found it last night on my desk. Mama bought me a little black back Bible. I couldn't even read that little black Bible. It's coming apart now. But I carried it on to church when I got saved. I carried it. Amen. Now, let me give this outline on spiritual success. Amen. First of all, let me say this. Amen. Do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. Now, spiritual success is fathered. This book of the law, it's written. Do what it says. You say, well, preacher, how do I be successful? Do what? Now, I'll give you a little outline. This is an acrostic. Some people don't believe in acrostics. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. But I preach a lot of acrostics, and I'm going to keep on preaching them. That is, taking a word and giving you something from each letter. Number one, if you want to be spiritually successful, do what the Bible says about salvation. There are people today, you're trying to do the Lord's work, but you're not saved. You've never been saved. Listen, it is not your good works. It is not your training. You don't train to be a minister. You don't train to be a preacher. God calls you, and then you get some Bible training. Amen. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's been a lot of people put in the service of the Lord that's never been born into the family of God. I've been born in the family of God. Preacher, how do you do that? You accept what Jesus did on Calvary. You bow your head and realize you're a sinner and ask God to save you and ask God to come in your heart, and He will do that. Amen. He will do that. He'll say, do what the Bible says about salvation. Amen. That's the first thing. Then taking the next letter, do what the Bible says you. Do what the Bible says about unity. You see, you'll never be successful in life until you do exactly what the Bible says about unity. There are so many Christian people, so many brothers and sisters that go through life holding grudges. We'd have revival in the Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. We'd have revival before dark if people tried to get in unity with each other. Oh, you say, but preacher, this thing happened 39 years ago and I've held a grudge. Well, boy, you've suffered, ain't you? Now, let me say something about unity. Time does not solve things. Some people think if they wait long enough, that time will solve things. That's not God's order in the Bible. God's order is forgiveness. And God's order in the Bible is God forgives you, but you've got to ask for it. You see why people don't ask forgiveness is it takes pride. But see, Joshua, if he wanted to be successful, he's going to have to keep the unity of the children of Israel together. By the way, Pastor, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to keep the unity of your church together. You're going to have to eat that. And I didn't understand that as a young preacher. I thought you just blasted everything that moved. And you know, you've heard preachers get up and say, if you don't like what's going on here, you can just hit the door. Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't funny when about 25 of them hit the door. You better be careful of that kind of statement. Amen. Now, I realize sometimes, amen, there's times when people have to leave all that. But I'm going to say this to you, friend. I want unity with my brethren. Amen. There's not a brother in this world that I want trouble with. I put men in, if I think they don't like me, I have a list on my prayer list. I call it my enemies list, but I hope they're not my enemies. But if I find out that I think somebody don't like me or they're causing me harm, I put them on that list. And I'll pray for them. I'll pray for them. And you don't have to believe what I'm getting ready to tell you. If you don't want to, it don't matter to me. But there was a man who did me some harm. And I'll be honest with you, I began to pray for this man. I didn't pray ugly about it. I just prayed for him. God told me through the Holy Spirit. God came to me in the Spirit and God said, I'll kill him. God said, I'll kill this man before the end of this year. I'll take his life. I'll kill him. And I said, God, don't do that. I said, dear God, please don't do that to that brother. Don't do that. I beg God for that man. That man's still alive today. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Thursday, February 19th. You've been listening to a message entitled The Character of Joshua, Part 2. This is 489-2. If you'd like to have this message, we'd be glad to send it to you this week free of charge. You could write us, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Or you can email us comments@gbiradio.org. For more information about our ministry, go to our website, gbiradio.org. May God be with you until tomorrow. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.